Hospitals employ many therapeutic methods. In addition to medication, there are interventions like massage therapy and hypnosis. So why use music? Sandra Sidlicky is a senior scientist at the Nursing Institute of the Cleveland Clinic in Ohio.
There's a couple reasons for music. One, it's very inexpensive.
Also, she says, we've done a lot of research on music's impact on pain.
Especially Dr. Marion Good, who did an awful lot on acute pain and music. She did a lot of studies looking at abdominal surgery patients.
In those studies, as in many others, patients listened to relaxing music like this. Dr. Good found that her surgery patients took fewer opioid drugs when they listened to music. Taking fewer drugs is beneficial, Dr. Sidlecki says, because pain drugs are limited by their side effects.
You get to the point where one more pill and the side effects aren't quite worth it.
While Dr. Good had looked at acute pain, no one had ever studied chronic pain, the kind that just won't go away.
People with chronic pain feel powerless. They've already tried everything. There's no choices left. So they feel powerless to do anything that's going to make it better.
Dr. Sidlecki was looking to address that powerlessness, as well as patients' depression, disability, and, of course, pain. For Dr. Linda Klein, the problem wasn't pain, it was anxiety. Klein, who's a professor of symptom management research in the nursing school at Ohio State University, has spent a lot of time with people who are in the hospital because they can't breathe. People in this condition are often put on mechanical ventilators, and she says,
I was always struck by the profound distress that these patients experience, regardless of the amount of medications that we gave them.
It wasn't just that the sedatives sometimes didn't work, she said.
Sometimes they would get more anxious and more anxious.
And just like with Dr. Sidlecki's pain patients, the drugs these people are taking have nasty side effects.
We had two primary aims of this study, to reduce anxiety as well as sedative exposure. If they can control a non-pharmacological intervention in the form of relaxing preferred music, can that have a beneficial effect?
Dr. Klein had nurses remind patients that music was an option, and they also posted signs near the beds that said,
listen to your music at least twice today.
Another group in her study used noise-canceling headphones with no music. A third group got standard care. Dr. Sidlecki's study also had three groups, a standard music group who listened to music from past studies, another group who were allowed to pick their own music, and a group that got standard treatment. The results were positive in both studies. For Dr. Sidlecki's patients,
when you look at it overall, power, pain, depression, and disability as a group improved in the music groups.
Dr. Klein's study looked to decrease both the intensity and the frequency of the drugs people had to take. She also found that music worked.
We could reduce anxiety in mechanically ventilated patients who were in this study, while we could also reduce the amount and the frequency of medication that these patients received.
The people who listened to music needed fewer sedative doses and had a 36% reduction in the intensity or the amount of medication they received. In addition, their anxiety was reduced by 36.5%. Both doctors had similar explanations for why music was so successful.
Music operates on many levels. It can be a very powerful distractor in the brain where we're listening to something that's pleasing and then it interrupts stressful thoughts.
Music can be a distraction. And if you're doing something you enjoy, time seems to go by faster.
These doctors seem to agree with that old line from the Bob Marley song, one good thing about music, when it hits you, you feel no pain. For VOA News, I'm Richard Paul.
One good thing about music, when it hits you, you feel no pain.